on the website, which I hope are useful. And it is deliberately that I do it in sound files and not in text, because if I give you text, the danger is that people read it very, very quickly, whereas with the sound file you are obliged to spend half an hour to listen to half an hour. That's life. Ah, yes, it's mean, but it's effective. Effective. Right, okay, so lecture this week is Socialism Before 1901. Yeah, before 1901. Again, we have another date. 1901, then the foundation of what will become the Labour Party. Yeah, the Labour Party, of course, in the 20th century will be at the centre of British politics. There are two big parties in Britain, the Conservative Party and the Labour Party. So the invention of the Labour Party, the founding of the Labour Party, will transform politics. And again, let's remember that we mustn't be Whiggish about this. It did not appear in the middle of the 19th century that a Labour Party was inevitable. Nobody had seen a Labour Party. There were no Labour Parties in other countries. Can we do that tomorrow? Yeah? Okay. So this is socialism before the Labour Party. Yeah, socialism and other forms, different forms of socialism before the Labour Party. And we will look at the Labour Party in a couple of weeks' time. Perhaps the most important thing about the Labour Party is its name. In every country in the world, it's called the Socialist Party, except in Britain, it's the Labour Party. Yeah? In France, Spain, Italy, Germany, Japan, Australia, not Australia, it's the Labour Party. But in all these countries, the Socialist Party, and they are all invented between 1880 and 1910, the same period, but not in Britain. In Britain, we have the Labour Party. That's very specific. We will see why. So let's have a look before that. Now, up to now in this semester, we've been looking at the movement for the abolition of slavery, the agricultural revolts of Ned Ludd and Captain Swing and the artisan revolts of Ned Ludd, the movement for the rights of women, the trade unions and the Chartists. All of these, except perhaps the last one, have been about specific questions, relatively specific questions. Although Chartism opened up a debate about wider questions, to join the Chartist movement it was sufficient to agree with the Charter. The 6 points. Socialism is something very different. It's a general movement, a general philosophy, a more generalized idea of radical change. And we're going to try to put ourselves back into the steps, put ourselves back into the shoes of people in the middle of the 19th century. Because today, when we say the word socialism, we already have Mitterrand, Stalin, and all these people in our heads, you know? But of course, this is before this. They don't know anything about this. So, I'm going to go today, and probably tomorrow as well, through three key figures, three important people, and the movements around them. Okay? And the three important figures are, one of them is French, actually, and two of them are British. Who's the French? Who's the French guy? Yes, Saint-Simon. Brother Owen. Perhaps you have heard of this gentleman at the end. Okay, Saint-Simon, a French philosopher, Robert Owen, English activist and organizer, Karl Marx, German scholar, exiled in London, lived in London most of his life, did most of his work in London, and so that's why he comes in here. But because this is Contestation politique et sociale en Grande-Bretagne, I'm going to look especially at what did the followers of these people, or the followers, the people who liked their ideas, what did they do? What we're most interested in is what were the movements, what were the activities, and not just their ideas. Their ideas, of course, are very important, and I cannot, in 2 hours, explain the ideas of Saint-Simon and Robert Owen and Karl Marx. That's too much, but I will give some general ideas. So let's look at the first guy, Claude-Henri de Saint-Simon. Au début, il a enlevé la particule, Claude-Henri Saint-Simon. He writes a series of books to give you some sort of idea. Here are some of his books, 1817, L'Industrie, 1819, L'Organisateur, that's a newspaper. 1823, Catéchisme des Industriels.
en français dans le texte.
And 1825, nouveau christianisme. And perhaps the last interesting thing about this gentleman is he came from an aristocratic family and he died in terrible poverty. Yeah. Okay, so now why are these important? Well, you can see just from the name the kind of things that he's interested in. First of all, notice Catechisme, Nouveau Christianisme. His idea about how to reorganize society were based on a religious idea, a Nouveau Christianisme. You can imagine that the church was not very happy. The church doesn't generally like you to tell them that they're doing things wrong. Fair enough. And l'industrie is at the centre of it. Saint-Simon will try to analyse the new industrial system, these amazing, new, surprising things which are factories. Today, of course, factories, we find them quite boring factories, but at the time, factories, incredible new things, and there's more of them every year. And he tries to explain it and say, why does this cause terrible things in society, and how can you have a different society? I will come back to him. I'm going through quickly, first of all. Robert Owen. Robert Owen, then, again, his books. Let's have a look at his books. 1813, A New View of Society. You can see these are ambitious people. Yeah? Have you ever thought of writing a book, A New View of Society? It's ambitious, isn't it? A new view. Yeah, all these different views. I have a new one. It's not so easy to do. 1819. These are not all their books, of course. They're just a selection. An address to the manufacturers of Great Britain. An address to the manufacturers. Yeah, he wants to talk to the factory owners. So you can see something about political tactics there. Who do I want to talk to? An address to the factory workers. The factory owners. 1832, I'm not going to write them all down. 1832, an address to all classes in the state. Yeah, an address to all classes in the state. Again, you know, it's got a certain ambition. And finally, 1849, the revolution in the mind and practice of the human race. Okay, so you can see these are ambitious people who believe that they have a completely new analysis of society in general. And these are I've chosen these two. There are some more French people, Charles Fourier in particular. So 1849, the revolution in the mind and practice of the human race. And finally then, Karl Marx. Now, of course, I could have given you 20 people. That's three is enough, yeah? But they are important people, but they were not only three, of course. Karl Marx, interesting gentleman. I like that. A few people wrote in their test that such and such a person was famous. Yeah. And it's true, but it's not profound. Okay, it's not profound. Well, Karl Marx is famous. When is he around? He is publishing later. First of all, notice he is later. 1844. Now, traditionally, we don't distinguish between what Karl Marx wrote and what Friedrich Engels wrote. Very often they wrote them together. For example, Das Kapital is written in three volumes, and only one was published before Marx died, and the other two were written by Engels from Marx's notes. So traditionally we say Marx and Engels wrote it. What did they write? 1844, The Condition of the Working Class. The Manifesto of the Communist Party. Again, you must remember not to identify the Communist Party with what we know today. It's a different situation. Much later, in the 1880s, Das Kapital, or in English, Capital. Capital. Le Capital, en français. Which is a very, very long work of, 700 pages, analysing, the condition of the working class. Sorry, I did go a little fast, it's true. Okay, it is easy to find a list of Karl Marx's books. Okay, so what can we see immediately from this? First of all, for Karl Marx, there is one class who is interesting, or one class who is the key. Whereas this is not the case for Robert Owen. What was he? He wrote an address to all classes, or Saint-Simon. That would be the difference. Right. Okay. So that was just the overview. I'm going to go back to each one. Saint-Simon first. Born in Paris. Went to America when he was 16 to help the revolution there against British rule. Lived in poverty almost all of his life. And in 1817, he began his book, L'Industrie, he believed that the key to the solution, the basic problem, was greed, that people wanted too much. But when you saw the terrible poverty, and everybody recognized the terrible poverty caused by the Industrial Revolution, greed was the problem, the hand of greed. And so what is the solution, in the opinion of Saint-Simon? It is to eradicate this way of thinking through education. In his opinion, the best section of society were the factory owners. These were the people, in his opinion, who had science and technology and had the dynamism to organize society, and this was fine. He believed that they could and should control society, instead of the church in the old medieval society, the church organized society. For Saint-Simon, the people who should organize society are the people of science, and industry. So this new education, which he proposed, was a new form of religion. Remember, religion is still very influential, and so when he says we need a completely new way of looking at society, it was rather natural to look at it in a religious point of view. His slogan, his new Christian slogan, was the whole of society ought to strive towards the amelioration of the moral and physical existence of the poorest class. Okay, so here you can see the socialist side. What's important in a society? It is who is the poorest class. The basic aim of society must be to make life better for the poorest class. This is Saint-Simon. So the quotation. Yeah. The whole of society ought to strive towards the amelioration of the moral and physical existence of the poorest class. Okay, so his idea is the solution is education. The people who should lead society are the men of industry and science, and the aim of society should be making things better for the poorest class. Now, in particular, he insists that productivity, efficiency are the way forward for society. He condemns kings, aristocrats, and the church. They are socially useless, in his opinion. But notice that for him, the solution lies with
les industriels. Des industriels.
Comment les industriels, les chefs, les propriétaires des usines, comment ils devraient agir pour avoir une meilleure société? That's the problem of Saint-Simon. Now, it doesn't sound very socialist in a way. You've got a kind of socialist thing, the poorest class is important, but he's not interested in trade unions. He's not interested in the workers playing a leading role. However, when he dies, the Saint-Simonien, the movement, become closer and closer to what we consider today something connected with socialism. So the Saint-Simonians began to question the institution of private property. They said, inheritance is a terrible thing. Yeah, here is a child of a rich family. They are inheriting millions, and they haven't worked for it. They haven't deserved it. This is a terrible thing. This is the opinion of the Saint-Simonians against inheritance. After the death of Saint-Simon, okay, so he doesn't control the whole movement. It continues on. And in the early 1830s, a lot of Saint-Simonians came to Britain to give talks, to give lectures. Remember the importance of lectures? We saw it in the test, yeah? Lectures very, very important. No television, no radio. And in particular, in 1833, the Saint-Simonians in England gave lectures on the rights of women, yeah? Which everybody considered to be a very controversial and often ridiculous subject. So the Saint-Simonians came to give lectures on the rights of women, and these were big meetings. A lot of women came, and this was part of the movement, the Saint-Simonians. Okay, so what did the Saint-Simonians have which was new? Well, I haven't told you about the history of socialism before the Saint-Simonians, but very frequently before the Saint-Simonians, the ideas of socialism was, let's go back to the village life. Yeah, Babeuf and people like that. Let the industrial society is a bad thing. The solution is, let's go back to the village, a simple agricultural life. And the Saint-Simon is the first person who says the industrial life has terrible results, but industry is the future, which, as we know today, it's very easy today. Today we know it's true. Everything which surrounds us, the chairs and the floor and the whiteboard, these are all made in factories. We know today that factories were the future. Let's have a look at the second gentleman here, Robert Owen.